Bill Foster is an ordinary man.
Where are you going?
Going home.
Not this way, you're not.
Why not?
Metro Rail Construction, that's why not.
Living in the everyday world.
I don't suppose you'd have a couple of bucks you could give me. It would really help me out. If you give me your address, I'll mail it back, honest.
A patient man.
Can I help you?
Yes, I'd like a ham and cheese omelette, wham fries.
I'm sorry.
We stop serving breakfast at 11:30.
Who's running out of patience?
I guess some change for the phones.
A peaceful man.
Lord Chase, I have to buy something.
Who's about to be pushed?
85 cents.
Doesn't give me enough money for the phone call.
Drink, 85 cents. You pay or go.
A little too far.
I stay.
You mean you stole your baseball bat, but he paid for the soda?
Just standing up for my rights. As a consumer.
Oh, this guy's discriminating.
What kind of vigilante are you? I am just trying to get home to my little girl's birthday.
Give us your briefcase.
If everybody will stay out of my way.
Here, you want a briefcase?
Here's my briefcase! Where's the briefcase?
Wait a minute. Then nobody will get hurt.
Warner Brothers presents.
Say, would you get off my golf course?
Yeah.
The story of an everyday guy who refused to take it one more day.
So we got a nutcase with a bag full of guns. He's in Hollywood right now and he's heading west.
I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's other people waiting to use the phone here.
Now, if you go up against this guy, be careful.
I think it's out of order.
Somebody in a white shirt and tie gunned down a phone with $3 from the Whammy Burger.
Michael Douglas.
In America, we have the freedom of speech. Come on, I want to be in a parking lot. I'll buy a ticket. The right to disagree.
Robert Duvall.
I know who this guy is.
In a Joel Schumacher film.
What are you doing to the street?
We're fixing it. What the hell does it look like?
See, I don't think anything's wrong with the street. I think you're just trying to justify your inflated budgets.
Well, I guess so.
I'll give you something to fix.
What are you... Hey, Charlie!
Falling down.
Let's call it a day.
Come on. I'm the bad guy?
A tale of urban reality.
Welcome back to the Good Times Are Killing Us podcast. It's me, Mark, your boy, and I'm joined as always by K-Town, and David.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's your boy, David.
What?
What? In Cincinnati. 1998.
Yeah, have y'all ever seen Cincinnati Chili?
Is that a movie?
Like,
no, or
like the Skyline Chili? They just be putting,
oh,
like,
I've been hearing a lot about the Skyline Chili.
Like some gross canned chili with like 15 pounds of shredded cheese on a baked potato.
I heard it's crazy. Yes, I've heard of this place.
I'd fuck with it.
No, I would give it a try. I'd give it a go.
It just pisses me off.
I'm not above it at all.
Sorry.
No, you fucking what? You're going to say something about Midwestern people?
Yeah, I was, but then I forgot.
Are there slurs for Midwesterners?
Yeah.
Cheeseheads?
Yeah, that's like Wisconsin people, yeah. I think, specifically. Okay. That's not even that bad. Like, you fucking cheeseheads over here. There's a bunch of, ever since a bunch of cheeseheads moved into town.
That's really the epitome of, like white privilege is just, like,
not being
there's
able.
All these crazy slurs for everyone else, and then, like, white people are, like, in tears, like, he called me a cheesehead. He called me a cracker.
I'm the bad guy?
Listen, guys, I know it's been a long, long time, but just in case you forgot, this is the podcast where we explore the history of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the most controversial people, movements, and organizations and movies in our modern world. We'll tell you the story, and then we will give you our take.
And you might be asking why we're talking about white privilege. Why is this getting so woke all of a sudden? But that's because today we're asking, does 1992's Falling Down, the original White Guys Had Enough movie, hold up? Although it's not really the original, actually. It's actually in a long line.
No, what was that one movie like the KKK put out?
Birth of a Nation.
Yeah,
the first big movie ever made.
That's the white man's burden movie.
Dude, we're gonna.
It's been going on forever.
We're gonna take a look at this movie. 93, I believe. I believe it's a 93 movie, but we're gonna take a look at this movie. We've talked about it I guess off cast for a long time about doing this movie, and it feels like there's some kind of recency. It's been popping up a lot on TikToks and on YouTube and stuff, and yeah, we want.
Yeah, because white people really have it rough right now, Mark. Okay,
I feel like a lot of people are relating with this movie even more than when it came out, and we wanted to take a look at it and see if that's warranted.
Yeah, I mean, this movie's general, like, I mean, we'll talk about when we talk about where we're coming from with this movie, but like, I feel like this movie touches on a certain modern zeitgeist of like mass murder, like white dude, the 4chan guy who's had enough, you know. It hits different today, and most of us should like automatically be disgusted by it, but there are things about it that are kind of interesting, and also people that are enjoying that element, that like it because of the way it, you know, portrays this guy.
Well, listen, before we get too before we get too far into what we think about this movie, it's been a while, but we are back, so make sure you follow us on the socials, on the Facebook, at the Good Times Are Killing Us podcast, the Instagram, at Good Times Killing Us podcast, and the Twitter.
X.
Is it okay to dead name X?
I mean, Elon dead names his child, so I feel like we should dead name his website. So.
Okay, so we'll call it Twitter. So on the Twitter, at good_times_dead. Please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and we'll read it right here on the cast. It's been a while.
Yeah, so. Leave a good review. You know, your boys are getting back. I mean, yes, we should probably talk about that for just a little bit, but this is technically a season premiere.
Yeah.
Season 3 or 4?
No trailer, just right into
just right in. No trailer about just being like, yeah, guys, it's going to be awesome. Like,
we're like, hey, watch this fucking movie, y'all.
Yeah, this random movie that, like, you're really likely not to like at all.
Well, I don't know, man. Honestly, typically with, like, Does It Hold Ups and just regular spoiler cast movies, sometimes I think we're just doing the dirty work where we're like,
yeah,
look, we've watched this movie and cataloged it so you don't have to. But I got to say, I kind of feel like some of the people listening, if you haven't seen this movie, maybe take a look at it before you listen to this episode.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to spoil the whole thing for one, but also, like, we're going to get into some of its themes and ideas. If you watch it in, like, a certain sort of mood, you might sort of catch a little bit of what it's laying down. It is it's a thematically complex movie.
Yeah.
Like, I do think it's actually a pretty complex movie, no matter how you feel about it, just from getting your first impressions of it. Like, it is complex, but let's talk about our first impressions of this movie.
Okay. So we've talked about doing this movie for a while. I saw this movie, I believe, once in its entirety when I was very, very young.
Like, too young to be seeing
way
it?
Way too young. Yeah, definitely way too young. I couldn't have been, like, 10 years old. And I remember we rented it, and I think there was, like, shrimp. I remember it just, like, unlocked the memory.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What? There was shrimp?
Yeah, there was shrimp. It was a whole fucking night. It was my mom and my aunt. We rented this movie. And thinking back on it, this would definitely have been my aunt's choice, this particular movie. But I remember watching it and thinking it was crazy, but it didn't really hold any place in my mind. And then recently, over the last few years, I've been seeing clips of it, like I said, pop up on different social media and stuff. And the interesting thing to me was people's commentary on it, and I really wanted to rewatch it, and I thought it would be a fun movie to do. So when we watched it for the first time together a couple nights ago with Matty Ice, unfortunately he couldn't be here.
R.I.P. Maddie.
But when we watched it the other night, I was kind of blown away, honestly. It was a lot of things. I'll tell you what, I wasn't bored.
Yeah, I mean, I just seen this movie, like, I saw a few clips of it, like, around the internet. Like, I've definitely seen the clip of him at the cheeseburger place, the Whammy Burger, where he's going off about not being able to get his breakfast. And
at 11:30, like, I thought it was going to be
thoroughly,
like,
lunchtime,
10:30, like, and he's, like, a little pissed about it. It was 11:30.
I mean, it was like 11:35, and they stopped at 11:30. So, like, you know.
Well, like, I've seen those, and I'm just like, this sucks. Like, this dude's an asshole. And then I just kind of picked up by seeing, like, I've seen, like, clips of it in various, like, YouTube video essays where people are talking about, like, just think relevant themes and, like, this sort of role this movie has in, like, filmmaking and, like, how there are people that enjoy it for the wrong reasons. Like, I just kind of picked up on that. And also, shout out to a YouTube channel I really like called FD Signifier that did, like, two videos that sort of broke part of this movie down. Okay. That kind of made me see it already from a certain perspective, even coming into it. But watching it the first time, I mean, yeah, like, I don't want to get too much into how I felt about the movie overall quite yet. But, like, it had me the whole time. I wasn't bored.
Yeah, yeah.
Kaitan, you just watched this movie here with us
tonight.
All
right, so again, just always resident fucking hater. I just watched it for the first time literally
moments ago.
I cringed the entire fucking movie.
There's a lot to cringe through.
I hated every aspect of this movie. It's not good. Even like from like a contrarian like standpoint, like it's like the messaging and everything is just like poorly done in my opinion and just stupid. This is like a shitty, like just weird, like white man fantasy version, even more version of like, fucking American History X and like, Fight Club. Those are much movies that kind of do like the same like style of like messaging and like themes, but like done in a better way and like definitely much more well thought out and like, presenting the message better.
I guess this is like a cartoon.
It's almost not ham-fisted enough.
seeing the clips of this movie before actually watching it, like seeing random clips like you had, Mark, I thought this was going to be like a satirical take, like it was going to be like trying to be funny. But like, I think the movie would have been good as that because it's like such a caricature of like that dude.
It's a character study, but not that complex.
But like, it's completely takes itself insanely serious, and it's so fucking
bad. I think there's something to, like, I'm not sure what Joel Schumacher was trying to do, maybe, but I think there is something that he left out where he does want to leave it to interpretation to the viewer. By the way, this movie is directed by Joel Schumacher, which fucked me up because this is the guy I know him best for. Yeah, I know him best for Batman Forever. This is the guy who put fucking nipples on the Batsuit. Like, that's what I know him for.
Oh, no.
So, like, I honestly was like, I was like, oh, he made, I know he did like Lost Boys and some other shit, but I don't really care for those movies. Sorry, don't come for me.
It's chill. It's fine.
So,
there's some TikTok, like, 18-year-old girl who just discovered vampires.
That movie's my whole personality.
I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, so I was actually surprised that this was a Joel Schumacher vehicle just because I think he did leave something out for the viewer, and I think there is a nuance to it. Like a 90s wokeness to it, maybe. Maybe I'm giving him too much.
Well, I think the big argument here is like I think that the average person can probably see that there are multiple ways to interpret this movie, and a big part of what we're doing here today is basically giving our takes on it. I mean, this is does it hold up, by the way? Just to kind of mention what the series even is. This is when we watch like older movies that were at one point really popular and sort of culturally like relevant, and we're talking about whether or not they hold up now. Does their legacy that they had at the time period they were around still hold up? Is it funny? Is it serious? I mean, in this case, it's not. There's no humor in this movie
at all. Actually, this is
all of ours have been comedies.
Yeah,
so far.
This is a very unique. Does it hold up? Because typically, it's an early 2000s comedy,
like a raunchy comedy. Yeah, and we're like, yeah, that's rape culture shit. That's not good, you know. But this is.
Yo, is it funny if I sleep with this girl that's passed out?
This is a whole different vibe. This is a suspense, a thriller.
I mean, instead of being like sexually raunchy, it's definitely more like, it's more triggering violence, you know, violent tendencies than sexual tendencies. And also it's touching on, whereas a lot of those movies.
It got kind of sexy at the end when he was kissing his distraught ex-wife on the neck.
Oh God, that was terrible. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's get into it. So we're having fun here. We're going to have fun with this movie. First of all,
we're having fun.
I'm not.
So let's talk about just our two main characters before we even get into the plot. We've got William Foster by Michael Douglas, who is the lead miscellaneous dickhead white guy.
So hold on, he's the Chad.
Yeah, he's the Chad.
The Chad to some people might say. But first of all,
the reluctant Chad.
Drip check, how's your boy looking? How's our main character looking?
I literally was just saying this, like the whole plot of this movie could have been fixed if my boy had any type of drip.
No drip.
Shitty car, shitty outfit, like Kmart button up with the clip-on tie.
The pocket protector.
Pocket protector, holes in his shoes.
Bro.
Like, no bitches, no money, no swag. Literally. Like, my dude is...
Did you mention that yee-ass haircut?
That yee-ass haircut,
a fucking, like, box cut, like, fucking, like...
He got for free on base, probably, like...
Yeah, literally, like, what I picture, like... someone's kid in the 70s having from a strict parent. Like, you got to have a high and tight and you can't have it touch your ears.
Like, they have to call their dad sir.
All jokes aside, I think that is part of, like, the vibe that you're supposed to get about defense Foster is that he is like a man out of time almost. Like he's from a different time. Which
he
almost,
looks like a dad, like the dorky dad from like Back to the Future.
Yeah, from like the '60s or something. Which is almost counter, like it doesn't really make sense because like you live in LA or you at least traverse through LA.
How you live can you in Venice
of,
Beach?
Yeah, how can yeah. you be in this out of touch?
Like, yeah, this is like a Spanish leaning place in the first place. Like,
why would you... Oh, don't get him started on Latinos, bro.
We'll get there.
God damn, the lotes.
But you're right, that is a big part of his character. Is like he's supposed to be this guy out of time in the 1950s or whatever. Like basically he has this vision of like the American privileged white guy who gets the good factory job and works his way up to the desk job and has a wife and kids and all that. Which he does essentially have all of those things, but he fucks it all up. His entire life is falling. This movie, like, it's called Falling Down, but even by this point, he's already fallen considerably down. We'll get to it, but yeah, this dude is a divorced dad.
No, I thought they just got that from London Bridge falling down.
They do love singing that fucking song. Yeah. Get it falling down. It's deep. But we're going to have this entire episode to talk about our boy William Foster and our man Michael Douglas. So I'm going to be real. I don't fuck with Michael Douglas after this movie, Doug. I'll say at least that.
Hey, man. Come on.
Makes me look at him different.
Why? Because he got mouth cancer from eating too much pussy?
Actor Michael Douglas has said his throat cancer was caused by performing oral sex on women. In an interview with British newspaper The Guardian, the Beyond the Candelabra star said at first he thought the disease was brought on by his years of smoking and drinking. But the 68-year-old, who is married to Catherine Zeta-Jones, has since revealed that the particular strain he had suffered with was caused by human papillomavirus, a sexually transmitted disease. When asked if he regretted smoking and drinking in the past, Michael said, "No, because this particular cancer is caused by HPV, which actually comes about from cunnilingus."
That's wild.
What a flex from my guy.
Like a strange flex, just like this movie. It's like a strange flex.
Sorry, my jawline's disappeared. I ate too much pussy.
Too much fucking pussy.
Damn. So we also got our boy Pendergrast, the retiring detective played by Robert Duvall.
Yeah, which I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it.
I hate both these characters. I hate everyone in this movie. This is a bald old dude who's got a wife at home who's mentally challenged.
He's distraught.
She calls him 50 fucking times on his last day. "When are you coming home? I'm scared. The cat scratched me.
What am I, chopped liver?
I'm freaking out here. I need you to pick up canned chicken on the way home." And he's like, "Don't worry, honey. London Bridge is falling down. And
she, "My fair lady."
Yeah, finish it for me. "My fair lady."
He's like a child.
It is... very cringeworthy, that whole scene. This relationship with him and his wife, I'm not really sure.
He says, "Well, she looked really hot when she was younger, and now she's fat.
You know, her looks have gone. You know, she used to be a beautiful woman.
She can't do anything. She used to be hot, and now she's not. Now she can't get a job."
"You guys don't understand. My wife used to be smoking hot, and now she's got nothing.
She's got nothing for me, baby.
Her tits are sagging. She's got a flat ass. Got nothing here."
I don't think he likes his wife.
No! He's just like, he wants to bang the younger Latino detective.
Lopez.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally just like the stereotypical, like, like dickhead, creepy, like old dude shithead cop.
Real quick, drip check on Duvall, on Robert Duvall's character Pendergrast, though.
That suit was whack, bro.
Does he got any drip? No, he doesn't have any drip. Like,
he had cat litter in his desk.
Yeah, no one even likes him.
Yeah, everyone fucking hates him.
Everyone's like, "Yeah, scumbag, you're lazy, you're a piece of shit, goodbye."
So you think this guy sucks? Get a load of his wife. "I just got done screaming at her on the phone. Don't you fucking talk about my wife that
way."
Look,
hey, that was a bit too much from that other detective who I did not like the entire movie. Pendergrass's vibe was all fucking off, I guess. You know, he was a little bitch made. I'm sorry.
But he definitely is supposed to be the more obviously sympathetic protagonist of the movie. Well, he doesn't seem like the protagonist at first, though. This whole movie
was definitely designed for a 40-plus-year-old white dude in the 90s because you're either like your life's falling apart and it's because you're white and no one takes you seriously, or your life's falling apart because you got a bitch-ass wife at home who's not hot anymore.
Yeah, who used to be hot.
Who used to be hot.
But the question is that character portrayed as a good guy or a bad guy? And that's really like the intense thing. Are we supposed to sympathize with this like vigilante like white guy who's had enough, who just goes around and is angry about how his life's falling apart because everyone else, it's somehow everyone else's fault? Or are we supposed to see him for being that? Are we supposed to look at him as a fallen down, failed man that is just like taking out all of his anger out on
the
world around him?
The movie seems like in the beginning, whoever wrote the movie was definitely trying to make a defense written as like the hero of the film. And then I think it almost seems like to me halfway through writing it and producing the film, the executives came in and said, no, we got to make this guy a bad guy.
I'm the bad guy?
We got to ham-fist this in the last quarter of the film.
No, I think they towed that line. I think they towed that line the whole time. Like, we were saying in the movie, I mean, we'll get to the plot here in a second, but, like, we were saying in the movie, there's certain beats in the movie where it's like I said, from the beginning, they want you to be on his side. We literally know nothing about Defense's character, just so he can seem more like an everyman, someone that we can relate with.
He's like meant to be like a cipher, like almost like Neo type character. Yeah, you know, something that you can just sort of put yourself on. I guess we'll get into the plot. I mean, yeah, it opens up.
Wait, Cipher? Not like this.
Not like this.
No, Cipher was ignorance is bliss. That was Cipher.
Which one was the not like this?
That was Switch.
Oh, Switch.
Switch. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, because she switched.
Yeah, she was going to be a trans woman. But yeah, so the movie kicks off with a very relatable situation that a lot of people can relate to. We've got Michael Douglas in his car in the middle of L.A. traffic. It's hot as fuck. There's a bunch of kids in a bus next to him. His people sweating.
Yeah, minority children hanging out the bus yelling.
I mean, there's also just people being gross, like dudes digging in their nose, people applying lipstick with their tongue out.
If it's 90 fucking degrees in California...
Yeah.
And I'm stuck in traffic, I'm picking my fucking nose, dog.
I don't know, dude.
Don't look at my fucking car.
It's a lot. I mean,
picking your nose is better than getting out of your car and going on a fucking rampage.
Yeah, true.
I'm going home.
But basically, I mean, again, the whole plot of this movie is random white guy has had enough. He's had enough of this traffic. He gets out and he just walks off, leaves his car in the middle of the fucking traffic.
Yeah.
And that's where we meet fucking Robert Duvall's character, actually.
Who's in the same traffic.
It's his last day on the force.
Yeah. I'm retiring.
Today.
You know, so it basically foreshadows, this is going to be not his last day on the force. We already know that from the beginning.
Dude, that's such a bummer. Die. My boy is about to retire. You know he's got so much fucking paperwork to do.
But that's a big part of it, actually, is like how he's like just a paperwork guy at this point. But so anyway, Michael Douglas's character goes off to this convenience store ran by
a
clearly like Korean immigrant.
Yeah, he needs some change for the payphone, so he wants to buy a Coke, I guess, so he can get change.
Well,
he wanted
the guy to give him change first, and the guy was like, "No, you got to buy something." So he got the Coke.
Oh, actually, sorry. Hey, guys, a payphone was a phone in the 90s.
Before you had a cell phone.
But yeah, so yeah, he's trying to get change so he can use the payphone, and I guess the store owner wants to charge him 85 cents for a Coke, which is like doesn't leave him enough to make the phone call, and that's unfair.
He's like, "You're charging me too much money. I refuse to pay this much money."
Yeah. He's like, "You know what? Actually, I'm going to take my day out on you."
And at some point, I forget. Yeah, exactly. At some point, he says like, I think he says like five, but he says like five, and he's like,
"Drink, 85 cents. You pay a go."
What's a phi? I don't understand a phi. There's a V in the word. It's five. You don't got V's in China.
And then you're like, "Oh, it's racist."
I think that's when we were
point for the violence. He's like, "You come to my country, we give your country billions of dollars. You come over here and you need to learn how to speak my fucking language."
Which, if that alone wasn't just a wild thing to say to this Korean store owner, is that like he's like,
who is speaking English?
Yeah, who is speaking English to the best of it. You don't speak. I'm sure Defense doesn't speak a single other language, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
No, remember, he's Italian. Where else would they go but Venice Beach?
But he's getting in this guy's ass for being a foreigner in his country. He starts name dropping money that America has given, supposedly given to South Korea, and then he has nothing to back that up. He's like, "You know how much money we've given your country?" And he's like, "Oh, well, it was probably a lot." Like, so he doesn't even know what the fuck he's talking about.
And so then he starts bitching. I mean, speaking of money, he starts bitching about how expensive everything is.
I'm rolling back prices to 1965. What do you think of that? Aspirin, price?
$3.40.
Oh, please. AA batteries, package of four.
$4.29.
Nice try. Well, I think this whole shelf looks suspect.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, the main takeaway from this scene is that, like, I'm going to pay what I want for things.
And I don't like Asian people. Like, those are the takeaways. But here's the thing, like, instantly, here's what this movie is interesting, though, is, like, it is a test movie. The very first scene, you don't know who he is. He's a cypher everyman character who's pissed off about something we've all been pissed off at. And then if you follow him to the store, and by the time you leave that store with him and you're still on his side, you are a bad person. You are racist.
Like you said before we recorded, the longer
you... Do you identify with this asshole?
Yeah, the longer you identify with this guy, which for us, I think it was, like, maybe the traffic scene.
Outside of the Nazi, he only physically harms minorities in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get to it.
But the longer you identify with this guy, I think, like, the worse off you kind
of
are.
Ladies, our 10% of our audience, if that. If you want to find out, like, if you got, like, a date with a dude and you want to find out what his deal is, put this movie on and see how long he's like, yeah, like, you will know a lot.
This could be a good, like, barometer, like, for sure. Like, how problematic is this guy?
Or at least just ask, what are your feelings on falling down?
Can you
down?
Imagine not knowing someone well enough and you're like, oh, let me watch this film?
Yeah, that's not a good first date movie, though. That's
it's
the only
problem.
It's one
of my favorite movies.
Yeah, can you imagine?
It's called White Man's Had Enough.
So yeah, they're kind of on his tail a little bit, but yeah, he leaves the convenience store, and he goes to, like, the middle of, like, basically, like, I guess, like, a barrio type area, I guess that would be the way to describe it.
Yeah, he's out in the hood.
Heavy Latino population.
Yeah. He's got a hole in his shoe, and he, like, rolls up this rock, and these two, like, dudes roll up on him, and...
What you doing, mister?
Nothing.
See, well, you're trespassing on private property.
Trespassing?
Loitering, too, man. That's right, you're loitering, too.
I didn't see any signs.
What you call that?
Graffiti?
They get all this shit, and they're telling him he's on the wrong side of town, that he needs to pay, he needs to, you know, pay a fine for, like, his trespassing. And he's like,
he sat on the rock. They clearly marked it with graffiti.
Yeah, he should have been able to read that. But he's like,
hold it, fellas. We're getting off on the wrong foot here, okay? This is a gangland thing, isn't it? We're having a territorial dispute, I've wandered into your pissing ground or whatever the damn thing is, and you've taken offense with my presence, and I can understand that. I mean, I wouldn't want you people in my backyard either. This is your home, and your home is your home, and I respect that. So if you would just back up a step or two, I'll take my problems elsewhere.
You know, he's trying to be reasonable.
Yeah.
But there's no reason here in this city. The city is a cesspool.
This place is a cesspool.
Yeah, the city is a cesspool, so.
Okay. I mean, I was willing to mind my own business. I was willing to respect your territory and treat you like a man, but you couldn't leave it alone, could you? You couldn't let a man sit here for 5 minutes and take a rest in your precious piece of shit hill. Okay. You want my briefcase? I'll get it for you, all right? You can have my briefcase. Here. You want my briefcase? Here's my briefcase!
Here's the briefcase, huh? Where you going?
And he pulls out a fucking bat and just starts whomping on these dudes, and they just get whomped, honestly. Like.
Yeah, he really whoops up on their ass, and then he gets a weapons upgrade. He gets the fucking switchblade.
Yeah, because they had a switchblade, but he had a whole bat. And the first time I saw this, I was like, man, how the fuck did he just take these dudes out with, like, a bat? That's all it took. But then I thought about it, and I was like...
That's a formidable weapon.
Yeah, a bat will do
it. Can you imagine just getting cracked upside the head full force with a bat, like, from some old dude you were just fucking with?
That's going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of not surprised at the reaction. Like, basically, like, he both the dudes run away, and then they, like, get, like, a whole, like, car full of dudes and, like, a bag full of guns.
Yeah. Like, the whole town's guns. Three guns per dude in the car.
Yeah, this is, like, way too many guns.
Like, it's really, like, some GTA shit.
For a mild-mannered white dude.
And a 15-second drive-by. Like, you couldn't even have used all these guns.
Dude, the drive-by. This moment, this dude kicked in, like, white privilege fucking, like, plot armor, like, abilities.
He goes to another payphone to harass his ex-wife again.
Well, these payphones used to be all over the city, you understand?
Every block. He goes to a payphone, and he calls to harass his ex-wife that he clearly used to abuse.
I'll call the police if I have to.
Coming home, Beth.
No.
I'm coming home.
No.
This is where it's revealed to us that, like, he is definitely not supposed to be going home.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, I have a restraining order. You can't come here. And he's like, nah, I'm going to come and see my fucking daughter.
I'm coming home. My daughter's birthday. Yeah, I'm coming home. Like, and then you get a little bit, this is the first time I was like, I mean, not the first time, because, like, the incident with the Korean store owner was a bit much, but
we,
like,
called him, like, Chinese first.
Yeah, oh yeah. But it's like, oh, this guy is a little bit unhinged a little bit. Like, you know, he's not listening to his ex-wife who's telling him he's not allowed to be there. He's like, listen, I'm coming home.
I mean, it's when you first realize that this is not just an average guy that snapped. This is actually, like, an asshole.
A deranged man.
This is a deranged man that's had his life go down for a while. But yeah, so then there's a drive-by, like, there, all these dudes have guns, and they're shooting at him, and they shoot every single person except him.
Like, literally shoot a baby in a stroller, like 15 just, like, people. Literally, you're watching him at the payphone, he doesn't even flinch, and there's, like, bullets, like, doing the silhouette thing from, like, Looney Tunes around him.
Like a shield. Like,
yeah, it's like divine intervention. Yeah, like, yeah.
But, like, and then magically they're like, oh, fuck, and they crash their car, and, like, they...
He just zapped him with white privilege power.
Four of the dudes die in the car, but, like, one guy doesn't. And he comes over and picks up the machine gun and shoots him in the leg.
And the whole bag. Your boy upgraded again.
Yeah, got, like,
mad 50 loot, like,
guns in a gym bag.
He got the full... He, like, maxed out, actually.
Yeah, this all like, gold. Like,
I don't think he gets
drops.
Any more... Needs any more weapons after this.
Yeah, got oh, he needs
but
a
But there's
weapon.
Another weapon coming. He gets the ultimate
shit,
upgrade
yeah,
later.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so he's pushing his way through downtown L.A., you know, causing shit with everyone he comes across and harassing his wife at every payphone he comes across.
He tries to get on the bus, but guess what happens?
Dude, this
a
scene,
bunch of black people cut in front of him and get on the bus before him.
Too many black guys.
Got me, dude. Like, it's so, like, he's got the bag of guns. He's unhinged. We know that as the audience now. He's trying to get on the bus, and, like, everyone's fucking pushing and shoving him, and, like, all the fucking black and brown people on the bus are, like, shoving him out
oh,
the
this
way.
Is,
they
this,
even cut to the bag of guns and him, like, and cut back to him, like, getting frustrated, and you think he's gonna snap.
This is 30 seconds after there was just a minute shot of him looking absolutely disgusted at some Latino people on the side of the road selling fruit.
Homeless people on the road. Yeah, he's headed up to... He...
I had it up to here.
He's too white to be seeing this many people of color in the same area, man.
Yeah, like, we feel really bad for him.
This scene really got me because, like, he's getting pushed and shoved out the way of the bus. He does not make it onto the bus. He decides he's just going to walk. And he walks, like, fucking in a direction, and there's some construction dudes again. And they're like... And it's a white construction dude. This dude's like, hey, where the fuck do you think you're going?
And that's why he doesn't shoot him.
He's like, oh, sorry, sir.
This construction dude is like the most rudest asshole possibly.
The fuck you doing on my street?
I mean, hold up, though. But, like, if you were working construction and laying some cement and some asshole just tried to walk through it.
No, I'm still on his side.
You'd be like, don't walk through this. Like, literally walk 2 feet around. Like, there's caution tape up. Do not walk through this. And he's
hey,
like,
where the fuck you going, chump?
What the fuck do you mean I gotta walk around?
I'm going home. Not this way, you're not, you piece of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, basically.
Like, literally could have just, like, right, taken sir, a step, yeah, like, yeah, an inch into the road and walked around it, but, like, was like, nope, all right,
he's just like, man, all right,
I gotta kill another minority over this shit.
He hits him with the most utmost respect. And,
yeah. Like, all right, my fellow white man.
Yes, sir. I'll go around. I will detour to the left. He goes to, is this where he goes to the Whammy Burger?
I think before this is a really interesting.
The homeless guy.
Well, not the homeless, the guy that's been like laid off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a black dude in the street that's been like laid off and he's like yelling. He's like,
economically unviable.
Exactly. Which, I mean, spoiler, we find out later on that like basically Michael Douglas's character has most likely been. He's had the same thing happen to him.
Yeah, he is also economically unviable.
So he's seeing this guy, and it's kind of an interesting moment where, like, this is a guy that's complaining about a similar issue as him, but he is a black guy, and we're sort of led to think, like, is this guy, like, straight-up racist? Is he not racist? So we're kind of wondering, when he's looking at the black dude across the street, is he empathizing with him, or is he like, goddamn black people, what's his vibe?
The one shot, the cop, so, like, the guy's, like, protesting in front of the bank he got laid off from. And the cops arrest him, and he's in the squad car, and he drives by.
Oh, dude, this moment.
Drives by Michael Douglas's character, and he looks out the window, and he's like,
"Don't forget me."
I absolutely hated this.
Dude, the fucking fairy godmother from Pinocchio rolled up and just sprinkled, like, the mystical Negro trope.
This is a black man telling you now that it's okay to act this way because they're shitting on everybody.
That was a weird shot. I was like, why are they
even the music playing during this scene is just, like, magical. It's a very, like, yeah, magical Negro trope. They gave a touch of the magical Negro trope in this, and I hate that part.
Yeah, but anyway.
Where'd we leave off, yeah?
We're at the Whammy Burger now.
No, the homeless guy.
Oh, yeah, the homeless guy. Oh. Yeah, someone doing it. Hey, come on, man. Let me get some money, man.
Got two bags here. Let me get one of the bags. No bag, bro.
I need a days. I need a sandwich.
A veteran now.
Yeah, he gives him the briefcase, which he just beat up like and killed two dudes for, essentially.
And what's in there?
An apple and a tomato and mayonnaise sandwich.
Dude, I hate this because I feel like this is a story that so many people have just made up. I've heard so many people be like, yeah, so I gave this guy some food and he didn't even want it. I'm like, dude, I feel like you're just making that I mean, it probably happens, I'm sure, but, like, it goes in the old stereotype of, like, oh, homeless people want to have things besides just food.
I have a funny story every about homeless that.
What, do they want to buy other things? But anyway, this homeless dude in the movie is definitely, it's definitely playing to that sort of trope. But yeah, the homeless guy just kind of disappears and he keeps going. Yeah.
Again, this is a white homeless dude and he doesn't shoot him. I feel like if he would have been a different color, guy would have got shot.
He might have acted a little more violently. I think this is just more to show that like a clue to his backstory is just that he's carrying this briefcase the whole time. He refused to give it up earlier and there's literally nothing of value in it.
Yeah, just a sandwich.
Nothing even of work.
Which, by all means, it's an empty shell, he shouldn't have to give up anything anyway.
No, for sure not.
Like, I'm not risking getting stabbed over a tomato sandwich, dog.
So anyway, he goes to the old Whammy Burger, and this is the scene that, like, I first saw from this movie, like, on, like, I think Facebook videos. But, like, yeah, he goes to the Whammy Burger at 11:30, and he wants some breakfast food, and...
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'd like some breakfast.
We stopped serving breakfast.
I know you stopped serving breakfast, Rick. Sheila told me you stopped serving breakfast. Why am I calling you by your first names? I don't even know who you are. I still call my boss Mr. I worked for him for 7.5 years, but I walk in here all of a sudden, total stranger, and I'm calling you Rick and Sheila like we're in some kind of AA meeting. I don't want to be your buddy, Rick. I just want a little breakfast.
It's past breakfast, baby.
Yeah, it's 11:36.
It's 11:36.
Yeah.
Not 10:36, not 9:30, 11:36. And he's like, what do you mean you're not doing breakfast anymore?
I thought this was America.
I know there's some Whammy croissants back there.
I know you got them back there. Like, what the fuck?
Let me talk to your manager.
I hate this type of dude so much.
No, but I feel like this. You got to take this in with the time. I think in 1993, this scene was hitting, dog.
This is such a pain in the ass. I hate it when I want to get breakfast and I can't get breakfast.
Up until the point where you pulled the gun out. Like, up until that point, I think people were really fucking with it, maybe.
But some people definitely were probably, and that's the big thing about this movie, is like some people saw that scene and they were like, I wish I could do that.
Hey, I know you broke down the breakfast station and you completely put everything away. I need you to unpack all that and
it's a pain in the ass.
Your fucking menu for me.
No, thing, I don't want to understand the logistics of it.
Have you ever heard
the expression, the customer is always right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here I am, the customer.
That's not our policy. You have to order something from the lunch menu.
I don't want lunch. I want breakfast.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm really sorry, too.
Get a gun!
Do you think this was a Joker moment where the guy's like, yeah. Wow!
Yeah.
Wow!
For some dudes, yeah, for
well,
sure.
Well, I think that's kind of
what
he
really did it.
Because he asked to speak to the manager, and they bring them, like, yeah. the manager with the most punchable face ever. Like, you know, that nice.
Was that Buster Scruggs? You ever seen The Ballad of Buster Scruggs?
Is that the Western thing?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's that guy.
He looks like Buster Scruggs.
I've definitely seen this guy. So, I mean, some character actor you've definitely seen before, but, like, he's really putting it on. And, yeah, I think he tells him, hey, sorry, buddy, we can't give you breakfast. And defense is like, oh, yeah, well, this is happening. Pulls a gun out. And
Pulls out a Tech 9, bro.
I just cannot follow the, like, train of thought here. Just like, you won't serve me breakfast while I'm holding everyone hostage.
Just calm down, everybody. Just sit down. Sit down over there. Hey.
Where are you going? No. You sit down there and you finish your lunch. Come on. Everybody just relax and take it easy. Come on. Why don't you eat your lunch, please? Eat your lunch. You all need your vitamins A's and B's and...
No, it's an accident! It's an accident! It's an accident! It's the trigger. It's sensitive. It's okay. It's all right. It's just... It's a sensitive trigger.
I mean, I think that's sort of like one of the interesting things about this movie. I mean, this scene and the scene at the convenience store are both like scenes where like he's getting so upset at the person that's just sort of representing something bigger than them. Like when the convenience store owner is like, yeah, the prices are this price. He's like, that's too expensive. It's like, dude, yeah, that's inflation. Like,
yeah, you don't get to haggle with the convenience store owner.
Yeah,
dude.
Korea didn't do inflation. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the country of South Korea is like setting the prices in East LA convenience stores.
Like, and then
how
like
much
scene,
fucking money my country's giving you?
It's like, what do you mean there's construction going on here? I don't understand that. I don't want to have that. What about me?
The street's broken and you're fixing it? I want you to tell me it's
I can
not.
See it. The street looks fine.
Hold on a fucking second. This street was fine 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Like, I was on it.
Yeah. And then the whammy bird, it's like, this is just a policy from the company. They've already shut things down. You don't know shit about what's going on back there, but you don't respect them because you're an asshole. Like,
this is... So,
you are a clown and an asshole.
I did want to dig into the scene for a second because, like, I could not follow his train of thought. So, like, he's like, fuck you guys. This is happening now since you won't give me my breakfast. I'm going to hold the place up to get breakfast, right?
Like, whole scene out.
Everybody sit down. Don't even try and run. Let me make them give me breakfast. And then he kind of like, sorry, you know what? Don't worry about breakfast. Just give me a regular meal. And then he starts walking around, you know, doing crowd work, I guess.
Yeah, basically.
And
it's like, what's the deal with the
yum-yum sauce?
Yeah. Hey, have you ever been in a threesome?
They get his food ready, and he's like...
See, this is what I'm talking about. Turn around, look at that. You see what I mean? It's plump, it's juicy, it's 3 inches thick. Now, look at this sorry... miserable squashed thing. Can anybody tell me what's wrong with this picture? Anybody at all?
But he randomly was like, I'm gonna hold you hostage, I'm gonna change my mind about this shit, and then I'm gonna spaz about it again. And like, I didn't it's like
about another common grievance that people have.
And is, the whole time in the background of all this dumb shit happening, the detective is like piecing together, there's a white man and a white button up. Go around,
about that,
beating up a Korean.
Hold on.
Shooting some Latinos.
Wait. A white man?
His wife?
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, hold on, sir. What you're telling me is a white man came in, trashed your store, and then paid for a can of soda?
He's white.
You need to get out of here. I'm robbery. He clearly didn't rob you. You're someone else's problem.
What?
It did take, honestly, it took Robert Duvall way too long to piece this all together. Like,
yeah.
You know? I mean, this guy is walking around all day doing literally all the crimes in L.A.
Yeah. Like, no clue just because he's white. Like, literally, like, the white privilege plot armor is strong with this one. Although, this is, what we're about to get to is Michael Douglas's most interesting encounter in the movie next to the final. One where he goes into this like army surplus store and he wants to I mean I don't even know why he went there. I mean, I guess to buy some army shit.
No, to get shoes.
Oh, that's right.
He's got
to get
a
boots.
Literal golf ball size hole in his shoe, which is how do you get that?
He's
I
like
don't
which
know,
which
but...
hiking boots are the best.
Well hiking boots, huh? Well, let's see what we got. He's here, the top of the line, scientifically engineered and all that crap. Guaranteed by some Sierra Club asshole not to hurt a chipmunk if you step on it. Personally, I think they're for pussies and f***s. Now, these are Vietnam jungle boots. Cost you half as much, last you twice as long, and they're great for stomping c***s.
Like, his whole character is just, like, bigoted asshole military dude.
Yeah, the basically. Store owner. Funny
he's throwing
enough,
out homophobic slurs. He's talking shit about, like, about scientists.
Which,
and
why would two gay guys in the early 1990s who are wearing nippleless tank tops?
For the leather drip, dog.
I mean, fashion? I guess, yeah. Ever heard
fashion,
of it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, those dudes did not look like they were going to buy some camo shorts. The guy literally had a tank top that specifically was cut
split
so that his
nipples
would be out.
He had a tank split down the nips.
And greased up. My dude was greased. Like, that was sweat. No, he was greased up.
That's a Joel Schumacher choice. Everyone was sweaty in this movie. Literally everyone in this
well,
movie
it is
sweaty.
Like,
it's nasty.
It's
work.
Summer in L.A.
It's really nasty.
Do you think if his AC was working in his car, any of this shit would have happened? If he had just, again, I'm going back to, if he had any type of drip, good haircut, good car, decent clothes, like,
I mean,
none of this would have happened.
Taking it back to that AC comment, I'm glad he didn't have AC, because it's why he left his car, wasn't at his wife's house, like, immediately.
Oh, no, he would have still been sitting in traffic if he had AC, Mark.
Walking was not faster, especially after all these encounters. We're, like, halfway through them.
Yeah. So yeah, he's at this dude's place, and like, this dude looks like just your stereotypical, like, bigoted dude. He's saying a bunch of shitty stuff to these gay dudes, and all of a sudden, like, this dude who, like, we're getting major skinhead Nazi vibes from, like, he's dripping in those vibes
off the rip.
And like, basically he gets this what's her name, Detective Lopez,
the hot younger, not even young, but young, 10 years younger than the old guy,
the one that Pendergrass is really into, I think.
Like, she swings by the store and she's like, hey, have you seen this guy? He's like some middle-aged white guy with like glasses, and like, she just describes
and
Michael Douglas'
character. And a gym bag full of guns, and the Nazi like kicks the bag under the counter so she can't see it.
He covers,
like,
for him.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, buddy, I'm going to get her out the store, and then we're going to go in the back and look at some Hitler shit.
Well, he covers for him, and then he's like, women cops, what the fuck?
Why don't you call you coptresses or whatever?
Yeah, coptresses. Because of, you know, your vagina.
Well, they like, lady, they just let anyone be a cop nowadays, huh?
This is kind of a thing. I mean, I'm not a white dude, but I've seen white dudes be susceptible to things like this. Like, really racist white dudes just glom to people and just assume you're down with their racist bullshit.
Yeah.
And he does this off the rip to defense. He just pulls up to him. He's like, hey, what's up, dude? I'm Nick.
Fully.
I'm into some bullshit.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
You get it, dude.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm surprised. Bro, William Defense Foster doesn't say shit about this. He shows a couple, like, disapproving faces, but he doesn't. He lets all this bullshit go on.
He blows up for a second, though.
Well, later on.
Like, after he shows him the empty can of the Jew gas.
Yeah, once he takes him into his little, like, Nazi lair, shouts... No.
Shouts out to Hitler? What?
No, not... I was gonna...
Hey, yo, shouts out to Nazis, bro!
I'm not gonna shout out anything in here, but I do gotta say, the Nazi Santa in his Hitler lair...
Nazi Santa is wild,
is like, you know? I don't know what...
And I hate that, like, it looks kind of right, because, like, Santa like is a red and white dude. I mean, he wears red, white, and black, the belt. Like, he's got a Nazi.
I'll just say, I'll never
it fits
see
in.
I'll just never see Santa the same.
Yeah. But Nazi Santa's wild.
Nazi
dude.
Santa really broke me in a couple ways, but
anyway, this is a really pivotal scene, because like, clearly this dude is like everything that you thought maybe Michael Douglas's character was. You might be thinking, wow, this dude must be like a raging, like, racist, just piece of shit. And then he meets like a caricature of a raging racist piece of shit, a literal Nazi.
He is, but he's just like not admitting it to
himself. But then like, and he says to him, like, you're just like me. So like, I think as the audience, like, at that point, if you still are on Michael Douglas's side, and
somehow
the message right here is that, like, you are this dude.
Yeah,
you are
this
dude.
You.
But then he hits him with the old,
you're not the same. I'm an American. You're a sick asshole.
But there lies the nuance.
Yeah.
Because, okay, like, if even, like you said, you even if you haven't somehow not picked up on this, like some of you Homelander fans out there, if you somehow had not picked up on it to this point, this is it. This is the mirror staring you in the face. This is you. And that's why his reaction is so violent to it. That's why this is the only guy he actually kills in the movie.
He's repressing that reality.
No,
exactly.
He kills him because he throws the snow globe, okay?
That is a big part of
it. Yeah, the thing that's going to get for his daughter.
No!
Because I'm a good guy that want to just get to my daughter's birthday.
I'm just trying to go home.
I'm the bad guy?
But this is interesting because, yeah, he does, the first person he kills, like, straight up, Like, even though he had his experiences with, like, these minority people where he just, like, essentially beat people up, the first person he kills is a white guy, but he's a racist white guy. So I guess it evens it out. But in reality,
it's a righteous kill.
Who did
right?
have, like, a 2-minute monologue about a can of gas that was used to gas down Jews in the Holocaust.
Yeah, like, we're supposed
they
to be,
really
like...
They were really hammering it up, like, yeah, this guy needs to die. He's got a can of Holocaust gas.
But I think the interesting thing, like, on a sort of, like, setting symbolic level, like, after he kills the Nazi dude, he's just in his lair. He doesn't have to go to a payphone anymore. He can call and harass his wife from this dude's lair.
He's got a landline.
He
takes his clothes and gets it all combated up.
Yeah. He takes his lair, he takes his garb, you know?
Yeah.
His rocket launcher?
He absorbs a part of that dude because he is essentially that guy. He's done more, he's done all the shit that that Nazi guy always wanted to do, honestly.
Yeah, now he's harassing his wife from the Nazi lair's landline. Hey, kids, a landline was a phone that used to be in the house. No,
it was corded to the wall.
I'm going
to
let this bit go.
Yeah. Mark, it's okay, you're 55.
I'm surprised K-Town just now hit you with that. With
yeah,
that
yeah,
going
I really,
on the whole
I really skated through this episode.
Honestly, yeah. Like, damn. But yeah.
It's because your boy's 34 now, and I'm.
You're feeling it.
I'm feeling.
You're feeling it.
Yeah, 33.
It's getting
now.
Scary.
Middle age.
Fuck.
Let's wrap it up.
But yeah, so. Oh, dude, this scene with the fucking bazooka, that shit is wild. Dude.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah. He has a full-on weapons upgrade, the final weapons upgrade, yeah. The final armor upgrade. He's just wearing, some surplus, army surplus gear that he got from the Nazi lair.
He's got the Nazi bazooka.
And he's full-on on demon time, dude. I mean, the next scene opens up with him just punching a random dude in the face.
Yeah, in the middle of traffic.
Yeah,
like,
in the middle.
Oh, yeah. The guy's, like, honking, which what he was doing.
What he would have been doing.
Yeah, he was exactly. doing in the beginning of the film. He's like, nah, fuck this guy.
Shut up.
Who also had the...
Shut up.
I don't know if you guys saw that guy's face, but the deepest fucking forehead vein I've ever seen in all of my time on this planet.
Shout out to the casting director for this movie.
Joel Schumacher was like, yeah. Can we go again? But can you get that vein like just really crazy?
Literally casting call for an extra that has 2 seconds in the movie. We need somebody with the biggest dick vein of all time in the middle
cutting
of their fucking forehead.
Their eyebrow line.
That was insane.
He decides, like, I mean, I guess this is crazy, because he's like, fuck you for beeping at the traffic, for beeping at the construction, but I'm going to go to the top
I'm gonna
of the
go
line.
I'm going to go blow up the construction.
And, like,
now.
Be like, what the fuck is going on here?
And then the weirdest fucking, like, there's just a black kid on a bike, and he's like, hey, man, you got to pull this missile launcher out by flipping this lid over here. Walking him through how to use a military rocket launcher.
Yeah, he pulls a bazooka out, a rocket launcher out, to blow up this construction ship. Because honestly, the street was fine, like, 2 days ago. He was on
it. Yeah, what the fuck are y'all doing here?
And he pulls out this bazooka that he got from the Nazi lair, and he doesn't even know how to use it. Luckily, there's some kids around to show him how, because they play, like, a 1993 version of Fortnite or whatever, and they know how these weapons work.
This is honestly, like, an 80s movie bit. I feel like I remember this in multiple 80s movies where it was, like, a kid who was like, yeah, mister, let me show you how it's done. You know, like, I played the Atari or whatever, yeah. You know. Like,
I just beat Super Mario World 3. Like,
I know how to work a bazooka, all right? I kind of like this. I like this part because it did feel like all right to me. It does feel like kids would fucking know too much about weapons. I don't know.
If the movie had that level of like
humor throughout
the whole thing, I think this would have been a much better film.
Like, the satire would have been more present.
If it would have been just goofy, like a kid showing him how to fucking shoot up a fucking rocket launcher, like that would have been that vibe would have been great for this movie. But everything else is way too serious.
Yeah, so we didn't mention either, like, this is like the third time he accidentally shoots a fucking weapon.
No trigger discipline.
My boy had zero trigger discipline, and once again he accidentally fires off, this time a fucking bazooka, Which I think the budget ran out in this part of the movie because, like, the shot just doesn't make sense. He shoots it, like, underground. It shoots, like, fucking 100 yards north and then blows up something underground. But, he's just, like, no good.
At this point, the street's fucked up and y'all can work on it.
Yeah, now the street is actually really fucked up.
Like, it's some kind of irony, right? He's going in, he's like, this street's fine. And then he ends up being the one that fucks it up because he doesn't know shit and he's an asshole.
Cutscene to him just working his way through a golf course. I kind of like the scene as well.
What are you
doing? There should be kids. There should be kids here and families and picnics.
There should be kids frolicking all over this golf course. Should but you want it all to yourself.
Wildflowers and berries and peaches.
Where's
the wildlife?
This old golfer is an asshole.
What are you doing there?
Just passing through.
Nobody said you could play through. Get off my hole!
Frank, he said he was passing through.
He's not even a member. Look at the way he's dressed, for Christ's sake. Would you get off my golf course?
I am. Yes,
go back the way you came!
Frank, listen, I don't like the looks of this guy. Leave him alone, will you?
Listen, what am I paying my fucking dues for? This is my golf course. If I want to play here, I will play here, you understand? Said. If he gets hit with my Titleist, that's his fucking problem.
Don't yell at me. I'm just here playing with you, for Christ's sake. Catch the ball.
Fuck!
But he decides to pull his shotgun out on him when he won't let him pass. And he fucking shoots the golf cart and gives this guy a heart attack.
And he dies, and he laughs at him in the last moment.
He taunts him.
Well, I guess you're out of luck, aren't you? Your little cart's going to drown. Now, aren't you sorry you didn't let me pass through your golf course?
Hey, golf!
Yeah. Now you're going to die wearing that stupid little hat.
Yeah, he taunts him to his death. Cut scene. Cut
scene. That's it.
And then magically, just like 2 seconds later, he's climbing through a mansion's fence and how dare you fucking put barbed wire on your fucking fence? I cut my fucking hand.
Like, why are you keeping guys like me out? What do I look like, a bad guy? Meanwhile, he's just got like a military suit and
a
shotgun.
And it's a guy and his wife and kids, and he's like, Dr.
I don't even live
Dr. Javeri said we could use this pool while he was out of town. Sir, I'm the gardener.
Sir, Dr. Zhivago said we could
Dr. Zhivago.
He said we could use this pool.
Dr. Zhivago.
I mean, should we skip ahead a little bit?
Let's skip ahead. Yeah. He traumatizes a family. No big deal.
We also find out that he lives with his mom still. His mom is afraid of him. like we see a video. At one point he gets like, I forget where or when, but he gets somewhere where he watches a video of him with his daughter when he was young.
That's when he breaks into his wife's house.
He does make it home for some reason.
First he stops at their old ice cream place, which is now taken over by some Mexican spiritualist.
Some new age bullshit.
He does not like that.
Can you believe this?
This part killed me because like, the place he's calling from, the payphone he's calling from now, is literally like 5 seconds from his house.
Real quick, the wife has had the cops over to her house 15 times because he's called and threatened her every stop 15 he's minutes. Taken.
And the cops are useless every time. He's like, maybe you should vote for more money for us.
Yeah, literally says, vote for more police spending.
Yeah. Hey, reinforce the police, would you?
I know we're not doing shit for you, but you should pay us more for that.
He literally calls them when he's like 5 steps away from the house, I guess to warn them that he's coming. Guess what? They're not there when he gets there.
Yeah, they flee.
And he decides to hang out and watch some home movies.
And this is also an interesting scene because he sees himself like playing with his daughter. And he's like smiling at first. And then, like, at some point, his daughter, like, does something, you know, like, some kid shit. You know, she does something, like, that is mildly just not, you know, super happy and glad. She seems, like, a little bit bummed or whatever. And he's like, oh, what's wrong? Oh, here it comes. Oh, I'm so, like,
he loses his fucking shit.
He's clearly an asshole. And you can see it on his face where he's watching this, and
he's realizing it.
Yeah, I'm an asshole. You know, it's the beginning of it's the beginning of the climax that happens just 10 minutes later when he says, I'm the bad guy.
I think he shoves this thought away because at the time, as he's watching these home movies, he's like, he realizes, oh, they would have run to the pier right up the street here.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where the home movie is happening. Anyway, he decides, fuck the home movies, and he runs up to the pier, and his wife and daughter are there. He pulls up with a fucking 9mm and he pulls it out and scares everyone on the pier and embraces his wife with some, you know, loving kisses. Oh, God,
dude. This shit is painful.
Hugs and kisses, yeah.
I told you, the vows were till death do us part. Yikes. Now I'm going to suck on your neck.
Traditional marriage, lady. Yeah. Like, Catholic. Like, I don't know. He's like,
I'm a Catholic.
We don't get divorced. You divorced me. No, we're forever together, baby.
I mean, at least, luckily for us, Pendergrass, Detective Pendergrass is there.
We haven't really gone over
Detective
his arc
popcorn over here
a lot, but, like, if you're going to watch this movie, like, I think those are the funniest parts. It's just him, like, yelling at his wife every 5 minutes.
Amanda, shut up.
Shut up. We have not talked about Robert Duvall.
Dinner better be ready when I get home. Leave the skin on the damn chicken. And shut up.
Shut up. Pendergrass is leaned up very comfortably on the side of this pier.
So magically somehow he's waved the gun, scared everyone away, and then 10 seconds later my dude is at the window ordering a fresh cup of popcorn and eating it leaned up like...
Like he just bought it from a dude. Like
this is like something I would like see in a Sherlock's Home like PBS film. Yeah. Like him posted up smoking his pipe. Like he's just like posted
like you
up.
Said
like
earlier, it's giving Columbo.
Yeah, Columbo. Yeah. Gotcha now. I outwitted you, and I have my popcorn.
You know that classic '90s like trope where like the person you don't know is in the scene interrupts the scene with something that like that the people in the scene are talking about. He's like, ah, families, huh? Yeah, I had a family once.
Yeah, he goes into some like little
yeah, the world,
like,
the city is sick. If you swim in the waters here, you'll get a bacterial infection.
Look, they lied to everyone out here. They even lied to the fishes. Yeah, what do you want me to do about
they
it?
They lied to the fucking fishes.
Is that what this is about? You're angry because you got lied to? Is that why my chicken dinner's drying out in the oven? Hey, they lie to everybody. They lie to the fish.
That fishes line was crazy.
They lied to the
fishes.
That's why you did all this? Because someone lied to you? They lied to the fucking fishes out here.
I'm going to be unpacking that for the rest of my life. What does that mean?
They just put fucking generic detective on his last day into AI, and they just got that shit.
They
lied to the fishes out here.
Hey, they lied to the fishes. What do you want? You think you're special?
The wife's
even
able to
the
trick,
fishes are getting lied to out here.
The cop hands him a popcorn to give to his daughter, and then Michael Douglas puts the gun down to eat popcorn with his daughter. Then the wife grabs the gun and throws the gun into the water, and then that's the final standoff.
Yeah, the wife and daughter run away, traumatized as fuck, and then it's just Michael Douglas, Robert Duvall. Robert Duvall's got the gun. But does Michael Douglas have a gun too?
He says he does.
He says he did.
And he's like, I'm not going to jail. Either I'm going to pull this gun and you're going to shoot me and my daughter's going to get my life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
What a hero.
Hey, he's still being the good guy at the end. At the end of the day, he's still a good guy.
I'm the bad guy?
And Michael Douglas draws his gun, which turns out to be a water gun, gets shot, and then Robert Duvall wipes water off his face and Michael Douglas is like, I would have gotten you.
Oh,
and then falls to his death and dies.
Hey.
And the trumpets play like this fucking
the most
like
somber like a hero died a hero's death.
Yeah, and Robert Duvall just like looks over the water and just like stares at him contemplating like God damn it,
this is supposed to be my last day.
I had to kill a man on my last day.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you like popcorn, little girl?
Oh yeah,
my name's Mud. They call me Mud.
The girl's dad had just fucking like harassed her, like assaulted her mom. Her dad was just shot, and then the guy that shot her
on a pier.
And then the guy that just shot her dad just rolls up while she's like brushing a doll's
hair. The crazy thing is like she's standing in the front yard and you can see the pier where your dad just got shot off of
from the front porch
where you're sitting and you're like. All her friends are standing at the front gate, like with presents, like, can we come in for the party now?
Yeah, the party is still on.
The cop's like, let her have some fun tonight. Tell her dad's dead tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll tell her about that shit tomorrow.
She's just like playing, like brushing this little doll's hair. That should have me weak, dude.
Yeah, Payne, you killed me when you were like, is she going to be brushing that doll's hair for the rest of her life?
Yeah, for real.
That's going to be her new. Like, either she immediately got over it or she's like absolutely devastated.
Hold on, who directed Face Off? Because, like, the ending to this is, like, very reminiscent of Face Off
vibes,
where,
yeah.
Like,
wait,
John Travolta...
John Woo. It was John Woo.
Oh, John Woo. Okay. Yeah, that's the beginning of the Woo-verse.
The Woo-verse, yeah.
Oh, man. There it is. There's the movie, basically. Falling down. I love going through the plot. This movie is very fun. But what do you guys think about this fucking movie?
I mean, are we just getting into the does it hold up and are the good times killing us? Or, I mean...
Yeah.
All right. So, Falling Down, you've come to us. You've come to the Kings for our season 4 premiere.
For the premiere, baby. 5 years at this.
Damn. God damn.
God damn, boy.
So you've come to ask, not only are your good times killing us, but are the good times holding up? Who wants to get... Well, we might have a discussion throughout all six of these responses, essentially.
You want
to
just say our responses right now and then, like, discuss?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We've never done this in the history of the podcast.
All right. Let's just rapid fire, get our responses off, and then we'll discuss. We'll show our work afterwards.
One at a time, though. Does it hold up? Or are the good times killing us? And then does it hold up, I think.
All right. I'll go first. Good times not killing us?
Good times not killing us.
Holds up.
Does not hold up.
Good times killing us?
Good times are not killing us, but it does not hold up.
Okay.
Good times are killing us just because this movie sucks and I hated it and does not hold up.
Okay. I guess I'll go first.
So it's a mostly negative. Yeah, you've got the... I'm in the middle. K-Town's the hard.
Positive, yeah.
You're okay.
That's fucking on brand as fuck.
How about both of y'all go, and then I'll show the middle way. Okay. I'll not show the middle way. I'll give my middle interpretation.
Okay, I'll give my... Okay. So I say good times are not killing us just because, like I said, as far as like a movie entertainment value, I enjoyed this movie. Like, I was not bored, like I said at the top. Not bored both times watching this movie. Had fun. Maybe it's just because I was with the homies and we were kind of taking the piss out of it as we watched it and shit. But, like, it's just... It's kind of ridiculous. Now, why I say it holds up is for a different reason than I think. I just think that when Joel Schumacher was making this movie, I think there was a nuance to it. Some of that 90s wokeness that maybe came off for the 90s or whatever. But looking at it with 2024 eyes... It's like you have to look at it through a different lens.
But that sounds like it doesn't hold up.
I just think the intention was so ambiguous that like you, I don't think he was trying to make a movie to celebrate the character of William Defense Foster. And I think he went through a lot of 90s woke angles to kind of obscure his intention in this movie.
Like the movie, to put in perspective, I think the movie Crash was considered the pinnacle of like this version of wokeness.
Yes.
Which today, again, why I say it doesn't hold up doesn't is hold why up. It seems like, because like Crash at the time, yeah, was also a movie that
Even like 2 years after Crash came out, people were like, yeah, okay, that movie was
people so kind of came around wild. To, kind of came around to it and kind of saw how that movie had a sort of ham-fisted sort of message to it. You know?
I think this movie, like we were saying earlier, is like not as ham-fisted as it could have been.
Yeah.
And I think he did leave it up. There is a lot of interpretation left up to the audience, and in that way...
Hold on.
I think you have to
hold
take...
Hold on.
Yeah.
You said it's not ham-fisted, and literally one of the last lines is Don't Michael Douglas me. Looking at the screen saying, I'm the bad guy? Question?
I'm the bad guy?
But that, there's still...
Yeah, yeah. There's nuance in that, and how you perceive...
That's important.
Yeah, how you perceive his arc, which... Technically, I don't think is an arc. He was the bad guy the entire time. It's just how it was revealed to us and the way the story played out that we had to download that and for ourselves determine how we felt about it. For that alone, I feel like it was left to... The way that it was left to the viewer makes me feel like it can be an intellectual or a philosophical movie that you can kind of like ask questions about.
That's why, like, artistically, I kind of mesh with sort of what it's doing because, yeah, this character, I mean, doesn't really have much of an arc. Yeah, he's just sort of an asshole who just does bad things and it gets worse and worse and worse. That's about as far as the arc is. But the real arc of it is the mirror effect of it. You will have an arc while watching this movie.
Yeah.
At what points will you empathize with this person, and at what point will you realize that, obviously, he is a bad guy and your impulses that are like this, these antisocial impulses...
Are the worst parts of you.
Exactly. They come from the same... They are the same as, like, for example, a Nazi, the most extreme version of that. Even if you deny that to yourself. It's a movie that tests the audience.
So if I'm on that end, and K-Town's on the complete opposite end, I want to hear your take.
So, like, I can... I can see the argument for it not killing us. Like, I get that from what you're saying. But I think
like artistically.
Like artistically, it's not killing us. But from artistically, I think it does not hold up because there are so many movies that have come out since, even around that time period, that do what this movie is trying to do so much better and so much more nuanced, and it's just executed so much better, like Fight Club, American History X, like even
Jurassic
even,
Park,
even like as like recent, I mean, yeah, as actually, like yeah. Joker and stuff. Like there are so many more movies that kind of tackle this like white man quote unquote burden, and like
white man's had enough,
like genre. White man's had enough genre, and then like the repercussions of like acting on it like is done so much better in other films. Like that's why I don't feel like this holds up at all. Like this is a very just like baseline, just like if you're trying to get that type of value out of a movie, there's so many other better movies that you can watch to get that same message in a much clearer and better and more nuanced way than this movie.
Well, there's been 30 years since this movie came out of
but social, I mean but that's like, that's kind of, but that's what we're sitting here doing. Yeah, like does true, it hold true, up like
fair enough, yeah. fair
it,
enough.
I, in my opinion it does not hold up. There's so much better after the fact that
that can drive the same point.
Drive the same point. And also like this movie, like I understand where like you guys are coming at where like the audience like has an arc. I didn't get that arc, and like maybe that's just me. Like
yeah, I mean from, I didn't get an arc either
from the like, moment yeah. like I've but never I see like how never at any point did, during this movie was like I even remotely like close to this guy. Like I could never picture me just being like 85 fucking cents? You think, goddamn Korean? Like,
I think idealistically we were all out on...
Yeah, I was out of this guy from the get-go.
Right, but it's hard for me to fathom like that headspace.
But so, that's like, where I get to with like why it doesn't hold up, because I think that it's like very much appealing to that 1992, like, I've had enough of this fucking traffic. Everything's getting expensive. Oh, what do you mean I can't walk here? You know, it's kind of like it's Seinfeld comedian bitching shit. You know, it's like the world is inconvenient, and that's a pain in the ass, and that's why you might identify with this character to some extent. I at no point, I mean, the most I could ever relate was just like being frustrated in traffic, but like as soon as he got out, as soon as he crosses that threshold, I'm out. But I think my point is like I see what they're doing as a movie. I see how they're trying to make it so that like if you are the type of guy that identifies with this character, you need to be looking back at yourself. You will have that arc.
Really?
My arc was over the moment. My arc was actually just realizing this movie had any artistic merit. My initial arc at the beginning was like, this is just a dumb movie that's basically kind of a cathartic experience for people that feel like this. But eventually I realized, I was like, oh no, it's not. It's a little bit more complex than that. But it is intentional that it's trying to sort of seem like it is projecting and sort of embellishing this type of character at first.
Real quick, back to my point of like other movies doing this same stuff better. The breakfast scene, there's literally Big Daddy, which came out like an Adam Sandler comedy movie, does that exact scene so much better with the breakfast where he's trying to get the little boy breakfast at McDonald's and he gets there at 10:45 and they're like, we stopped serving breakfast. So he just makes an effort the next day to wake up a little bit earlier to get the kid breakfast.
Nah,
he doesn't like scream or shoot up the store. Like it's so much better. It's like, this is a mild inconvenience. Like I just like there's other films that do everything in this movie better.
But I mean, but that him freaking out on that was part of it though. That was to like,
I'm just saying
to
like,
make him be obviously
just,
a clown.
It's like, just funnier. Like I just feel like there's just so much better out there than this shit.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think for me, it just like, the reason I say it, the good times aren't killing us, but it does not hold up, is because I think like with the right set of eyes, this movie can be very interesting. And I think that I really do appreciate like there's a certain powerful irony in it when you do see these people that are identifying with this movie and are like, yeah, like this scene and this is cathartic or whatever. But the entire purpose of the movie, especially when we look at like, let's say like a Trump world, you know, where like people that are like all in some like, I'm the white evangelical Republican Christian. I am good. And it's like, next thing you know, you're brushing shoulders with Nazis. This movie has the message that's directed towards those people. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, look at what happens when you sort of adopt this sort of short-sighted, like just...
But do you think the people...
I mean, privilege, but also, I mean, what's the word? Like, you think that the world revolves around you.
Like self-centeredness,
essentially self-centeredness.
But
do you think those people
that would be susceptible to like getting that message from the movie would even take away from that in any way, shape, or form? Or would they be better off like watching something like Fight Club that has that same genre of dude that's getting into it? But like, if you look at it in a more critical sense, like, that's again like what I'm saying.
This
like,
is
but
a Fight different
Club, but people
this
putting
is
people
a
do that same people so putting people do that same shit with Fight Club though.
But that's what I'm saying. But
it's
like,
easier to make an argument for why Fight Club is not that than this movie though. This movie
that's what I'm saying. Like even the people that are susceptible and like this ham-fisted like I don't see the people that are gonna get into this movie having any way of like getting to that point where you're getting to where like they're finding the nuance in it from this movie. Any better than like the other better examples of it.
And I think that's my thing is like maybe in 92, maybe this made sense at that time period. But yeah, today, I think the people that are enjoying this movie are a lot of the people like this movie is, I think, probably doing a little bit more bad than good now.
Yeah.
I just think as an artistic like message, I think that it has its valid points. It has some valid like elements of it that I think are interesting and are doing something with like film that, you know, is thought provoking. And but I will say for me getting it, it is kind of like a preaching to the choir type of thing because this message to me is kind of old. Like, yes, by now I realize, yes, these assholes are like Nazis because I've literally seen Charlottesville and I've seen Trump.
Yeah.
So for me, it's kind of like, duh. But back then, you know, I think maybe it left a little bit more to chew on.
You might have a point to that. To nowadays, the people who are seeing this movie, I feel like more people are siding with it.
Yeah.
Seeing the nuance or the ambiguity in it or the mirror that's reflected at people with the who think they're different from these white nationalists or white supremacists or bigots in any way. I don't know, man.
I just think it's wild that, like, as a group, $12 has been spent towards this movie. You guys have watched it twice now. I watched it twice. So like a cumulative of like 10 hours of wasted time.
I'm not mad at it. I think it's a waste of time. But more like I said at the top of this, more so than any other movie, like I would love for the people who are listening to this, go ahead and take a watch at this movie and tell us what you think. I think
from a new father's standpoint, man, I just felt like I wasted a Saturday. I'm glad I got to be here with my boys, like back in the studio. Like that's dope. But like,
I'm glad that I finally saw this movie because I feel like it has its place in like the American movie canon. I think it says something a lot about like certain things and impressions and ideas that people have in America and certain
police are ineffective, you know, white dudes be mad for no reason sometimes
and get away with it,
and we give a lot of money to Korea apparently and that jacks up their convenience store prices.
Good news at least is that it looks like William Defense Foster is going to be the next drop in Fortnite, so look forward to that.
Dude, could you imagine? you see this dude the same way you see like John Wick or something like that.
He's doing Michael Douglas with cancer jaw from eating pussy doing the gritty.
Y'all, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Hey, y'all. This is season 4. This is 5 years of us doing this shit.
And we're back, baby. We are coming with some new shit. We at least have...
Your boys are grizzled as fuck.
Yeah, we're grizzled. It's
been
a minute. We're
dads now.
We're all dads. The whole squad are dads. But don't worry, we got some very... I would say almost kind of some dad core episodes in a way, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to have an episode where we're like, what's it like being a father?
Yeah, none of that shit.
Yeah, yeah, we're not doing any of that bullshit.
Well, y'all, thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for checking us out. We're back. Make sure you follow us on all the socials. Facebook at the Good Times Are Killing Us podcast, Instagram at Good Times Are Killing Us, and Twitter at good_times_dead. Nice. And leave a rating or review. Blah, 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 blah.
And look, y'all need to know that we are back. We're doing some new episodes.
What?
It's going to be just like in 1999 at Cincinnati, Ohio at Farm Fresh Stadium.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, brother. We're coming back with some new episodes, a new series. We're doing it, y'all.
Y'all, thank y'all so much for listening to Good Times of Killing Us podcast. Our intro and ad music are by Determine. Our music is by Rusty Painter. And hell, you know what? If you are Michael Douglas's character in this movie, or you're his jaw, guys, am I right?
Pussy eating.
Then you're going to wind up fucking
dead.
The other day I saw him and he was like, dude, has K-Town ever done this to you? Has he ever given you the old, hey, let me show you something?
Hey, let me show you something? What do you mean?
Like, hey, here's like this fucked up, terrible, like, wild thing.
He asked you if I've done that?
Yeah, I was like, what? That's like literally like the main, that's the main
He's been doing that to me since I was 16 years old.
Yeah, that's like my life. I was like, what are you talking about? It's always funny.
I do that to all my employees.
He's met you like a couple times and you did that once to him and he's like, oh yeah, man, I had a crazy K-Town experience. Like, all those young kids though from that generation are like, they probably do just see you as being like this like, mythological, like, wild dude. Like, man, K-Town, everything's, like, exaggerated. They're like, man, K-Town, he played this birthday show and he was throwing up all over us. He was throwing up all over the mosh pit. People were slipping in it and he was punching people and throwing
people
them
were
and
slipping and sliding. K-Town punched me in the nose.
He shit on the floor.
He shit on the floor, dude. I swear to God.
I watched him drop a brick. Just on the floor at Club Relevant.
It was
and
awesome.
And Pastor Mike cleaned it up.
Yeah.